They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very Elegant ahead on a Dave. He's trying, but she's going to beat him. Very Elegant wins the Rambert.
Welcome back to the B-Set. I'm Nick Burney. We're out there for another day at Rosehill Gardens, or I should say back at Rosehill Gardens. Group 1 Coolmore Classic Day. Big handicap race. Plenty of great racing on the card, especially these two-year-olds, this Golden Slipper pitcher. Ray, does it get any easier with the weekend of the Slipper, or have you just already stood one out?
Oh, look, the Autumn Carnival starts off with the Coolmore Classic meeting, and this meeting is an interesting one. Golden Slipper Day is always a tough day, so
yeah.
Look, any carnival day is a tough day because you've got, you know, pretty well the best horses going around that's available in all these races. So
yep.
Unfortunately, we had the news this morning that Fangirl's gonna miss the rest of the autumn, which is disappointing.
Very disappointing.
She was going to be heading towards the Rider next week. Although I suppose Connections of Think About It probably won't be too disappointed to see her not there, but. Yeah, look, Coolmore Classic Day on Saturday is, look, I can't say it's a day I'm brimming with confidence in, but at the same time, there's a few horses there that I like, so let's see what we can come up with.
Always have plenty of bets to be had. All right, let's get into it, the Group 1. So over the 1,500 metres, coming out of the back chute, so there's a good run from that starting point, so horses usually will get their chances. Who did you land on in the big one?
Well, it's with that in mind, I've decided to stick with Tropical Squall.
Yep.
You know, you look at the barriers and you think, oh, geez, you know, 17. But as you've just said, the 1,500 metres at Rosehill, that's the fairest starting point in the entire track.
Yep.
It's akin in some ways to the 1,600 metre start at Randwick with a long run down the back straight. And I've said a number of times, I love horses that go forward that draw wide.
Yep.
Because you know exactly what they're going to do. And that's exactly what Tropical Squall will do. I thought she was great first up in the surround. Look, admittedly, they did allow her to dictate a little bit, but that can happen when you've got a designated leader. And I can't see a whole heap of pressure for her.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be probably a couple little kick up, but they'll have intent from the gate there from 17. And I think you'll find her on the fence fairly comfortably. And it's just a matter of whether Tim Clark can get control. I think she has to be fitter for that first up run. I don't think there'll be a massive improvement in her.
Yeah.
But, look, I think she'll get every chance. And Zagotcha's the horse to beat.
Yep.
She gets the right setup. I don't think she's badly weighted with 57.
No, I agree with you a lot there. Yeah, I do agree. I'm with Zagotcha. And I do think she's one of the better bets of the day. Look, I've marked her 380, so not a huge overlay, but I think she's just profiles really well for the race. She had every chance when winning first up in the Millie Fox, but there was just a lot of style about to her win. I just think they told me that she's back because we know last preparation she was trained for an Everest and things just didn't work out for her. But on that Millie Fox win, they ran good time, good margin of third, and she actually beat Lady Laguna, who subsequently went on to win last week's Group 1, the Canterbury Stakes. The rating she produced that day wins tomorrow's race. She's a winner at the track and distance. And I think you alluded to it. I'm not concerned about the weight. Yeah. In this race, historically, they've actually shown the mares can carry big weights and win. McDonald's sticks, there's a lot to like about her. And I do like the draw. I like the inside draw for her. So I know history's not everything. There's only been one winner since 2010 draw wider than Barrier 9. But with her, happy to be with her, one of the better bets of the day, but I'm going to have something on Yonsei as well, who it took a long time. I think it was 600 days between coming back this preparation, a bit over 600 days, and Kieran Mars just continually just stepped her, and I think she's going to produce a good effort there on Saturday. I think she's $14, $15. I can definitely have something on her as well. So in an open race, there's plenty of different angles.
Yeah, look, I mean, Zagotcha, 57 is not an issue for her.
No.
A few of the other horses that have won with 57 recently haven't had the record that she has.
Yeah.
You know, she was a flight stakes winner. We're talking horses like Steps in Time.
Yeah.
Won it with 57 kilos about 10 years ago or so. You know, she was a smart mare, but she didn't have the profile of Zagotcha. Zagotcha won the Farlap Stakes at this meeting last year.
Yeah.
That was her win at the track and distance. And look, she's hard, you know, if she can back up that first up win.
Yeah.
Obviously, the good form behind it, well, she has to be hard to beat. there are other chances. I've been pretty wrapped with Revolutionary Miss, what she's done down in Melbourne recently. She's shown an ability to put herself in races, and I'd imagine that that's what they'll look to do with her from a, you know, out there in 13. And I'm wary of Komochi.
Yep. So the Komochi got its tongue over the bit.
Yeah, tongue over the bit. She was a little bit slow out and was spat out the back of the surround. So was pretty well the opposite spot in the race where they wanted her to be.
Well, if you'd put a line through that run, you'd take her on her first up run. She's the weight horse, obviously, down with the 50 and a half. Yeah. But she's the – and you can understand why there has been good money for her, that 15 into 750, purely at the weights. Because if you take that first up rating, she's right in this race. Another horse, Jenny Lala, I should say. Another one that can go forward, high-pressure race suits. But there's so many angles. I just really like Zugotcha, one of the better bets of the day, and happy to have something on Yonsei. All right, let's move to the next race. Well, we might talk about the two-year-olds quickly before we go to the head-to-head. Look, Gatsby's dominant favourite. And then also we have Fly, the dominant favourite in... So Gatsby's the Pago, and the Magic Knight Stakes Fly. Any strong opinion about some of these two-year-olds, Ray?
I had Gatsby's marked as the best bet for the day.
Yeah.
In a tough day for a best bet. He just looks like he's got a lot of style about him. He's got a good racing pattern where he, as we saw in his first start, he was just able to sit right behind a strong speed.
Yeah.
And he ran down Roslyn Starr pretty well.
Yeah.
And we've seen what Roslyn Starr has done. We've seen what Silmarillion's done.
Yeah.
She ran third in that race. I just think the way this race looks like it's going to be run, he's going to be sitting there third, fourth. J-Mac bides his time and gets him into the slipper if connections want to go there, and I'd imagine they probably would. The other one, the Magic Knight, look, I settled on Fly, mainly because I think she's had the smoother preparation compared to Castagna.
Yep.
She's coming through, obviously, some pretty handy form lines, obviously fourth to Switzerland on debut, and she improved off that to run second to Manal.
Yep.
Which... one of the leading fillies heading towards the slipper. She's got a barrier this time. And if she puts everything together, I think she gets the chance to win without being as bullish. I just think there's a few other options in that race. Chateau Miraval's got a good chance. And Castagna, of course, maybe up against it a little bit in the sense that she comes off a small setback going from 1,000 to 12, but she's got the soft draw to offset that. So... Look, I guess I'm with the two favoured horses in the two-year-old races.
Yep.
What about yourself?
Yeah, Gatsby's for me on top. But look, I can't add too much more with the form lines to come through that race, but just a tradesman-like win. And the thing I liked about it is just how he showed that ability to adapt, accelerate, be strong through the line. Lot to like about this horse. And that Canterbury meeting, every single call of the betting, they just... kept shortening.
Yeah.
It was just off the absolute map. So a lot of market intelligence there for that horse as well. So that's a good lead in itself. Shadow Miraval went on top for me in the Magic Knight. No real confidence here. Look, I had a Neeser on top, so I'm left with Shadow Miraval. I just thought it was solid last start, let it the good even tempo. But the thing I don't think she handled the rain-affected ground. I know we may be on rain-affected ground tomorrow to see if any more rain comes, but she just lost her action in it. So I think we get to that drier surface, Rosehill 1,200 metres, Tim Clark Sticks. She might just be hard to catch, but a really tricky race for me, the Magic Knight. I don't want to get too involved in that, but I think Gatsby's are with you. It's not my best bet of the day, but I think it's clearly one of the best bets on the entire meeting. All right, let's move to a good head-to-head battle, I think. We've got Airman at $3.10 favourite and Red Card, $3.50 second favourite. Did you land on one of those two? Or there's a couple of bit of specking around, Dashing Legend, Omni Man, around there as well. But was it one of the two favourite runners you landed on, Ray?
I actually landed on Dashing Legend.
Yep.
Yeah, but we'll talk about the two horses first, Airman and Red Card. Obviously, Red Card returned with quite a solid win first up. It wasn't super flashy, but she got the job done under 58. She drops to 55, barrier one. She's had a tick over trial.
Mm.
So she's got the fitness edge on Airman, who also has 59 to deal with. They've found James McDonald. Now, I don't think J-Mac rides an awful lot for the Hawks stable, so... they've pulled off a little bit of a coup there. He's got a good winning record. They threw him into the Group 1 behind Imperatriz back in November. Look, we'll find out what level he's at in this race. You know,
he's got a lot of weight.
Yeah, he's got a lot of weight. He's giving away plenty to some pretty handy horses. So I came up with Dashing Legend because I like what she did in her first prep for Joe Pride back in the summer. Now, it was in the summer, obviously, or late spring, but she did carry a big weight to win, you know, first up last preparation when very well supported. And I know there's been a little bit of support for her at the moment. It'll be interesting to see if that continues. And she was far from disgraced in the benchmark 100 on Big Dance Day after that. She's had a couple of trials. Now, Joe Pride said in that preparation that he just wanted to get a feel for her.
Yep.
And then head her into stakes company in the autumn. So that's what he's done here. You know, she did run fourth to aft cabin in the Arrowfield, you know, last year as a three-year-old. So she's got a little bit of quality, and she's got that barrier draw that's just going to allow her to sit, you know, just ahead of midfield and get every chance. So look, I want to have a little bit each way on her at this point. Of the two horses we've focused on, I'd probably have Red Card slightly ahead.
Yeah, so out of there too, I think Red Card for me is one of the better bets. He's my best on the meeting. I marked her clear favourite. She just gets a lot in her favour tomorrow, and I think she's primed to run a new peak. Now, she did have the perfect run first up, but she still put them away, ran good time. But it was more about that. I think she's going to step off that, so I think she can only improve off that performance. When you really do break down the market in her sectionals, she finds the front tomorrow. It's just a massive advantage around Rose Hill over the 1,100 metres. She's two from two at the track and distance. I liked her trial the other day at Hawkesbury. Now, really delving into these two, Airman versus Red Card. So they met last preparation and Red Card actually beat him home. She SP'd shorter in the market and she meets him 6.5 kilos better off from that run. So there's just too many factors there for me to not have her favourite.
Be a little bit of the J-Mac tax.
I think that's a lot of J-Mac tax. And with that said, and it's also the map, I get it. He's going to be stalking and it's always very scary, McDonald's stalking you. But with that said, just purely at the prices, I think Red Card should be favourite. I'm with you with Dashing Legend, second pick. I've saved on that runner or made it a small winner. So I'm really keen on Red Card, best bet of the day, but I want to get involved in this race and I have to be with Dashing Legend as well. I think, as you said, it went really good there first up last prep and maps to have all favours. So I'm really keen to bet in that race because opposing the favourite Airman at $3.10, I just think is under the odds, but we'll get to that soon. So as we move to the rapid fire, over the odds, right?
I like the price of Kintyre.
Yes.
In the far lap.
Yeah.
You know, he's slight double figure odds. He was really good first up behind Gently Rolled in a race that it was impossible for him to win,
yep,
even where he was from the wide gate. Now, he's drawn a gate that will allow him to be in his natural position, which is in that first, you know, clump of horses in the run. He's got a great second up record. He mixed it with, he split Tom Kitten and NCAP in a Group 3 race last preparation. He ran well in the Gloaming. He ran well in the Spring Stakes. Had excuses in the Group 1 Spring Champion. This is an open race. Obviously, we're going to have Tuta La Vida come out of it running today at Kembla Grange. There's going to be enough speed from out wide to allow him to find that nice little spot. He can't do anything else but run a good race. This is a race that'll tell us whether he's a horse that is, you know, a Group 2, 3 kind of horse.
Yep.
Or whether he's been punching above his weight,
yep,
in some of these races. So he gets every chance. He gets the right sort of price, I think, as well, as far as, you know, he shouldn't be a short price in this race.
Yep.
He shouldn't be $4. But I thought he was a little bit overs. I thought it was a little bit of disrespect for what he's done.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I thought he was over the odds too, and I thought it was really actually one of the better runs of the meeting, how unsuited he was to that race shape. I'm going with one of my old friends, a bit like last week, Race 9 in the Ajax Stakes, Territory Express. Look, he's not suited under the conditions of the race. He has to carry the same weight as the two favourites, Amor Victorious and Glory Days. But there's just something about this horse. I think he's got a really good win in him. That first up performance in the Provincial Midway Qualifier at Kembla, just there was a lot of style about it. That final 100 metres, how he wanted to surge to the line, held his action. Fastest 200 metre of the day, just purely around the pricing. He's $26 or $31. I could have something small on him each way. In a race, I don't want to get too involved with the favourites. I just think they're well found. Look, they're going to be hard to beat. This race is really important, so horses get exempt ballot to the Doncaster.
And that's exactly why he's there. I did have a chat to Paul Nissaforo yesterday.
Yep.
Very interesting. Like, he's already qualified for the Provincial Midway Championships.
Yep.
But he really wants to give him his chance to get into the Doncaster.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why he's in this race and not the last race. He dual accepted, obviously, just in case he didn't make the field in the Ajax.
Yep.
Which he obviously has. And you don't
good get, luck.
You
yeah.
You've got to be in it to win it. If he's good at, like, he's got clearly got ability. He's always shown.
He does.
He's always shown something. He's got a bit of a negative racing pattern, which doesn't help.
Yep.
But
he's a horse, I agree, but he does have a negative race pattern. That has got the better of him a few times. Mm. But he's going to get high pressure there on Saturday.
Exactly.
He should be able to get his chance run down. And if he can have that same closing speed he did at Kemba, $31.
Yeah.
I've had worse bets. That's the way I'm going
to
put it.
I found that race really hard to work out.
That's how I came. I didn't want to be with the favourites.
So. I didn't know whether to go for, whether to think that the on-paces are going to dominate and keep going, or whether they're going to overdo it with that little bit more pressure behind them than they've had in the lesser races, and something will swoop home. You don't know whether to go for a real back marker or something that's going to be stalking. It's a real head-scratching race
that
maybe made a little bit clearer by the pattern of the day.
Yep.
But, look, you've got to be in it to win it, and you never begrudge someone willing to have a go.
Absolutely. Under the odds.
Well, I think we kind of mentioned it here. We've got to go with the red card Airman situation.
Yep.
And I think Airman probably a little bit under the odds, largely because of James McDonald riding.
Yeah, I agree. Airman, I think $3.10. You'll see a better price tomorrow. I get it, though, barrier to James McDonald, but there's more factors that have to go into that. Out wide.
We're going to head to Canamble. We had mixed results with Tamworth last week. We didn't get the championships winner, but we've got our other one home.
Dance with Heroes.
Dance with Who's won.
Dance Who, sorry.
Won quite impressively. We'll go to race 6 at Canamble, number 7, Plenitude, trained by Clint Lundum.
Yep.
Look, he did flirt with throwing him into the championships race, but he's only a 3-year-old, so perhaps maybe next year. But just looking at what he's done since he won his only race back in June, he was thrown into a Class 1 at Dubbo, won by Palazzo Prince, whose next start was in a highway where I think he ran 4th or 5th or something like that. And he started right in the market. He then went around at Scone. He did start $20 in a Class 1, won by Know Thyself, who went up favourite for the Tamworth Country Championships race last week but didn't gain a run. So he's come back. He's found a benchmark 58 over 1,400 metres. He's found James Ormond to ride. He's thrown the blinkers back on. He's got a soft gate. I think we can see him run a really big race here. I think he'll be probably second favourite with Brett Robb's horse Rouge Moulin likely favourite.
Yep.
But I reckon Plenitude's going to give a pretty good sight here. As far as the championships race goes, it's really hard to go around Gallant Star.
Yeah, it is. I think the evens they put up was fair enough.
Yeah, look, he's been set for the race since he won that highway a while back. He ran second in a benchmark race at Rose Hill. He ran a handy fourth at Canterbury a month ago. I liked how he hit the line there, so he's ready for 1,400 metres. It's going to find a strongly run race here.
Yep.
And he's entitled to be favourite. Whether he's a good thing, I don't know. Canamble is a funny track.
Yes.
It can favour on pace horses at times. But like we said, it's probably going to be a strongly run race. So I think you'll be able to sit probably just behind the pace, maybe in that fourth, fifth, sixth position. And that's probably good enough to give him every chance. But I think that Plenitude race 6, number 7, will be the out wide.
Well, plenty to do on Sunday at Canamble because I'm going there as well. I'm race 5, number 9, Peony. I almost said Peroni. Peony Surprise. This horse is a big improver. So new stable was off a 36-day break there at Dubbo last start 9 days ago. And it just wasn't suited to how the race was run. But more importantly, this horse isn't an 1,100-metre horse.
Mm.
So getting up to the 14s, a big tick. I like that the track's going to still be dry, delving into its form. Dry track is its key. But the maiden it comes out of at Dubbo rated extremely well against the day. Barrier 4, I think it's going to be a lot more positive. Look, I think it could be, it could push forward to, I hope, either lead or a handy position. But just getting out to the 1,400 metres, probably needed the run there first up or off a break for a new trainer. I think it's going to only step off that performance. So I think it's around $4. I'm happy to be with it on Sunday at Canamble. Best bets time. Let's go through them, Ray.
Well, we alluded to it earlier. I went with Gatsby's as the best of the day at Rose Hill. It's a really hard day to have a best bet. They've got a couple of odds-on favourites there that do look hard to beat, but you can't, you've got nothing to gain by running into something that's $1.70, like, say, Tabby Time or...
Yeah.
I mean, initially I thought Lindemann was quite well placed.
Yeah.
You know, it pretty well looked like a two-horse race, but, you know, $1.80 or something.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know about that.
If you're taking $1.80, like, I get you, Lindemann look at probably just wins, but $1.80, you want to be going, this is a good thing for me personally.
I like the upside that Gatsby's got. I like the setup that he's got. Obviously, we've said the form behind him is really strong. That doesn't mean everything, but...
Just to start.
It's a good help to suggest that he's going to be able to measure up as well. Everything about that race just says that it's his to lose. And for that reason, I've got him as the best bet. Elsewhere on the card, look, I'm not really super confident. You know, we've got a couple of short price favourites that are hard to go around. So perhaps the next best, I did like Fly Fly in the other one. So that'd be probably my two out of the day. But they're not, you know, they're both well found, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it's one of those days. If you like something at odds in some of the other races, like the Midway or the Ajax or the Farlap, I think those are probably the races that are better to bet into.
Yeah, two best for me and in the city this week. So,
wow.
I do like the one at Canamble, but I'm not going to label it as a best bet. But I think race 6, number 4, Red Card at Rose Hill will be my best bet. And also, I do like Zugotcha in the big one, race 8, number 1. So they're $3.50, Red Card, around the $4 mark, Zugotcha. I think they're just two really good bets.
Yep.
Gosford, race 5, number 4, Unni Rain. It could go straight to the front, be hard to catch if you're looking for something at the provincials. But they're my two best at Rose Hill.
It's a good qualifier there, actually.
It's a great midway. Oh, what about Terramata?
Terramata, Keradata. Adam Duggan's horses are going pretty well.
Shadows of Love.
Shadows of Love. It's a really strong qualifier, so...
I might still back Terramata, even with the gate.
We'll see what happens with the day and the price and stuff like that. Look, next week's Golden Slipper Day.
Yeah, hasn't that come up quick?
Group 1's all over the place.
5, I think it is.
5 of them. The Rose Hill Guineas, the George Ryder, the Galaxy. That's going to be a cracking race.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Galaxy.
The Slipper and the Ranvet. Where we probably see Chris Waller's International Via Sistina step out.
Yes.
Following the same path that a Dave did, coming through the Champion Stakes at Ascot. Ranvet, Queen Elizabeth. So she's going to have a lot of interest in her. She brings a lot of really strong
form. Yeah, strong Group 1 overseas form.
And we probably get to see William Haggis's horse, Post Impressionist, go in the Mannion Cup.
Yeah.
Over the 2,400 metres on his way to the Sydney Cup. So... we've got the barrier draw for the Golden Slipper on Tuesday. It'll be broadcast live through Sky. Acceptances for that race, obviously, on that day. And Ryan Moore to ride Storm Boy. So,
yeah,
it's going to be very interesting to see if Ryan Moore can go back-to-back, to see if Storm Boy is the dominant two-year-old that he has seemed to be, or whether there's something else, whether it's Switzerland, whether it's a filly that's going to surprise, whether even a horse like, you know, Gatsby's can get through the Pango Pango on Saturday, as Shinzo did last year, and make an impression. There's so much to...
through the back door.
So much to pay out. We've got to get through Coolmore Classic Day first, but Golden Slipper Day is always a magical day of racing, so looking forward to that.
Just with that, with Fangirl coming off, Via Sistina, now $6, third line of betting for the Queen Elizabeth. So, interesting runner coming up. All right, let's get into it. Great weekend of betting. And good luck to everyone having a try.